I said to you guys earlier on as we welcome you back here on this heavy work day for the Browns as they get set the Tampa Bay Bucks. Wilhelm put on a XO clinic on the whiteboard for us. Yeah, so I wish you guys could be in the dog bowl with us. Maybe we'll get into it
a little bit later on.
Yeah.
We'll get the video going maybe next season.
Yeah, we're talking about trying to deal with Tampa's Tampa 2, that famous defense that they play, and where Wilhelm was showing us where the voids and the seams are and how you can exploit it a little bit. Got me all excited.
That's right.
We talked
yesterday, and it's it'll be interesting to see what Kyle Shanahan does personnel-wise to attack the cover two defense, because Jordan Cameron, in my eyes, after having spent time with Vernon Davis in San Francisco, Antonio Gates in San Diego, Jermichael Finley in Green Bay, when in Green Bay, you're seeing the Bears twice a season with Leslie Frazier as a defense coordinator, which he took to Minnesota, but now back under Lovie Smith, and that cover two, that Tampa two, you want to attack the middle of the field because, again, you know, in cover two, the two in cover two is for two half the field safeties. And so where does that leave the void, fans? The middle of the field. And so you have a middle of the field run through linebacker who's reading the intent of an inside receiver. So in this case, it'd be Jordan Cameron flexed out or at the tight end position. And we started talking a little bit off air. Maybe it's a Miles Austin guy that we move into that flex position to put some stress on that middle of the field, or maybe a speedy Taylor Gabriel, you know, and leave Austin outside. But you have to stress that middle linebacker, whether it's stress that seam through the middle of the field or you stress it and it looks like it's a seam route, but then he jerks down at 10 yards and Brian Hoyer puts it right on the numbers for a first down.
I love it. I love it. And that's why we're working on Browns president Alex Shiner, who just walked by the dog bowl. Get a camera in here.
That's right.
Get a camera in here.
Camera and a whiteboard.
And
you guys will guarantee you'll be on that Browns mobile app tuning in every day.
Zagura, Wilhelm, Reg Eye will all be in our glory.
That's right.
We had that. All right. Speaking of defensive football, though, as Matt was kind of giving you the basics of the Tampa 2 that Leslie Frazier has taken with him to rejoin with Lovie Smith, let's find out about what the Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill's got going on. Maybe some surprises. He spoke to the media just a few minutes ago. We turn it around for you right now on Cleveland Browns Daily.
All right, I thought I'd start by addressing the dog collars. I've been getting a lot of questions recently about the dog collars hanging up in all the guys' lockers, all the defensive players in the locker room. And the story behind it is, as a defensive staff, we got together during training camp, and we wanted to develop a unique way to keep reinforcing playing like a Brown. It was a huge part of what we wanted to do in the offseason when it came to evaluating our players. It's something that we preach to those guys constantly. So what we came up with that was unique to the dog pound was to give each player a dog collar, and those guys would be rewarded for plays on the field with a bone for every time they did something that we considered a play like a Brown play. It's not necessarily something that shows up in the stat sheet. It doesn't have to be a great play. It could be a 30-yard gain where a defensive lineman chases down the running back and it's just an exceptional effort play. So I think that the players have bought into it. I hear them talking about it on the sideline. I hear them talking about it in the meeting rooms. It's gotten competitive. We're going to give them a midseason report here next week to see who's in the lead, and it's hopefully going to be a good tradition for us defensively moving forward.
That in Buffalo?
We haven't. This is the first time we've done something like this since I've been in the NFL. I mean, obviously, stuff like this is more common in college, but we felt as a staff that, you know, we had worked so hard to ingrain play like a Brown with our guys and what that meant to us. We needed to find a way to continue to reinforce it throughout the season. You know what? I couldn't tell you. I told the guys I don't want to know until this time next week. And then we'll announce the top three. And, you know, I'm sure there's guys in the locker room kind of eyeballing other guys' collars to see who's got the most tags on it. So those guys might have a better feel for it right now than I do.
Do you get them final say?
They argue sometimes in the with their position coaches. The position coaches have final say. As they're grading the tape, they'll put, you know, PLB, circle it, highlight it so they can see it on their grade sheets. And if there's a play that happens where they feel like they've given an exceptional effort or have taken two blocks at the point of attack or something, they'll argue for it sometimes. It's a good thing. It's become competitive.
Like, how many do you give a week? I mean,
I would say a really good performance would be anywhere between 5 and 8. That would be a really, really good performance. We don't just hand them out now. It's got to be something exceptional.
After a lot, during a loss, too?
Yeah, coaches only get them. Like, coaches only get them. This is mine. I only get them for wins. The players get them for exceptional plays.
One of the things with Dansby was one of his Arizona teammates said, you know, he took the money and ran here. And not that we had any reason to suspect anything, but those guys were saying that, well, he's not the hard charger he always was. In terms of playing like a Brown, what about what you saw from Dansby day one to now?
He's one of the best in our group. So, I mean, Dansby's a guy that loves football. You know, I think Carlos is one of those guys that would play for free. I mean, everything that he does in his life is built around becoming a better athlete, a better football player, the way he studies, the way he prepares, the leadership qualities he possesses. I'm fired up that he came here to be a Cleveland Brown. I know we said it in the offseason. We tried to recruit him when we were in Buffalo. So he's a guy that we've admired from afar for a long time, and a guy that we knew would be a great fit in our system. So I don't see that at all.
Mike Glennon, Mike Evans, and some of the challenges the Bucs present.
Yeah, we played against Mike last year. You know, when he was a rookie in the league, big quarterback. He's got a really strong arm. He looks a lot more comfortable out there than he did last year. He's obviously got those two real big receivers on the outside. You know, V-Jax has been doing it for a long time. He's a very good receiver, and then, you know, they got the new rookie who's starting to come on for him. They present problems on deep balls down the sideline. I think it's hard to say you're just going to press those guys all the time. You probably need to play them more from off and, you know, take away some of the deep ball stuff or discourage them from throwing that. But our DBs know that they're going to be in for a physical fight on Sunday afternoon.
How about just the whole height advantage thing? What are you coaching them up?
Oh, it's just like getting a rebound. You know, you got to get up off the ground first. So, but I think, like I said, I think that, you know, mixing up some of your techniques, playing more off than probably what we're used to is stuff that will help against that.
Are you still on the mode where you kind of have to subconsciously acknowledge that you don't have some of your defensive linemen, and that Rube's ankle might be still a little bit damaged, and subconsciously you're still kind of hanging on, trying to win until you get the normal situation back up there?
I don't want to say we're hanging on. Like I said, we were happy about our D-line depth heading into the season. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to, you know, roll the same three guys out there every single week. But, you know, we'll get Billy Wynn back this week. You know, he's a guy that we had penciled in as a starter, you know, heading into the season. You know, it was unfortunate to lose John. I mean, he was probably one of the best of the bunch with the way he was playing against the run and pushing the pocket in the pass game. But I know you guys are probably hearing it, and I know Pet says it all the time. It's next man up, and we're not getting any sympathy cards in the mail. So those guys have been warriors for us. They're going to continue to get better. And the three guys that we trot out there, or the two guys based on the package, they know they got to execute at a high level.
Receivers on the outside, do you want to fight size with size, or is it not about that in this defense? It's more about position.
I mean, we feel like, you know, our corners aren't small, you know, and I like the leaping ability of all of our corners. So, you know, our guys are going to be our guys. It's not like all of a sudden we're going to train Mingo and put him out of corner so he can jump with these guys. But like I said, just mixing the looks and doing some stuff, you know, that it should help them, and we'll be all right.
I think that forced fumble was Dante's first turnover that he caused since he's been here. Can you just talk about how he's played up to this point, and has he given you everything that you hope for?
Everything and more. I mean, he really has. I mean, you know, he's a guy that's, you know, consistently right around 10 tackles a game. I think he's made two huge impact plays in two of our wins. I think that the fumble was obviously a turning point in that Oakland game. I think the tackle on Le'Veon Bell in the Pittsburgh game down on the goal line was a huge play. And that was a turning point in that game, not allowing them to get in for a touchdown in the low red zone. So he's an enforcer. We haven't seen as many in-breaking routes as the season's gone on. So, you know, his presence out there makes offenses think about what they want to do schematically. He's a guy that has learned multiple positions for us. He can play deep safety. He can play low safety. He can get up and blitz as a dime linebacker. So, the way he helps other guys prepare and the leader that he is in the room has been awesome.
What's clicked for Justin Gilbert the past couple games?
I think he's learning how to be a pro. He's taking the coaching from the practice field to the game field, and he's playing with more confidence. He's having fun with his teammates. So, like we talked about, I know everybody hates the word process, but when you get a young corner in this league, especially in our system, it's hard. It's very hard. And Justin's done a nice job, and he's strung together two or three good weeks of practice now, and he's played solid the past 2 weeks. So we just need to continue to make sure he's going in the right direction.
All right, that's Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill as he spoke to the media a little bit earlier today. So he's instituted, Matt, the dog collars with opportunities to be recognized for big plays, kind of like the Browns version of helmet stickers.
Exactly.
For the type of, how many the players really get into that, especially do they check them out at each other's locker?
Oh, my God. This is a locker room full of competitors. Believe me, they are in tune to who's getting bones and who's not, and also what plays they're getting bones for, so that when their opportunity to make that kind of play is out there, they go make it so they get a collar. It's the simple thing. Do you think millions? Yes, they're getting paid millions of dollars, but in some cases, as you heard Coach Jim O'Neill talk about, Dansby would play for free, you know, because he loves the game so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's those bones and having the most bones in that locker room, and the way the jealousy and the gloating that comes with having the most bones for that player reigns supreme over who makes the most money in that locker room right now when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, so something that is being instituted by Jim O'Neill, and it'll get the competitive juices going with the guys on the defensive side of the ball. Great to have you along on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll get into our Blue Point Grill Roundtable coming up. Nathan Zagura should be popping back up in here. Our left tackle on the show, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Browns Radio Network, will join. Matt Wilhelm's here. Michael Regg, I got you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're only at halftime. Don't move. Lots still to come. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.